Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Hello, I'm Susan Violante. I'm your host for today. I'm really excited to be speaking on the phone with Luke Donovan, author of Missing the Big Picture, which is an autobiography about his life as a teenager struggling with mental issues, bullies, self-esteem, and all other teenage issues. His story should be read by all teenagers, their parents, educators, and mental health providers, as the topics and social issues presented are relevant to all of them. But before we start, let's learn a little bit about Luke. Luke is the winner of the 2011 Capital District Last Comic Standing competition. His book is an autobiography that portrays his life growing up with a grandmother who suffered mental illness, as well as his teenage struggles with bullies, self-confidence, media influences, and his own mental illness issues. Hi, Luke. How are you today?
Good. How are you, Susan?
Pretty good. Thank you so much for being with us. We're going to be talking about your book that you just came out, Missing the Big Picture.
Yes.
And I'm very impressed because you are a young author.
Also. Yes, I am.
So why don't we start by telling our listeners a little bit about yourself?
I grew up in Albany, New York. The book really just goes from birth up until like a few years ago, so it's in chronological order. I was raised in a single-parent home. Basically, growing up, we lived with my grandmother, who unfortunately has always suffered from obsessive-compulsive disorder all of her life. So growing up, we always had to, you know, follow her rules and everything that to somebody on the outside would appear very strange. One thing was usually around time. Everything that our schedule was always revolved around time. For instance, we could only do laundry every Sunday at 7:40. So the book talks about this, too. Another thing where if we were, me and my mother were out grocery shopping and she didn't think it was, you know, safe to come in, we'd have to just wait into the car, wait in the car before my grandmother allowed us to come in. And then the book also kind of devolves, you know, other instances, you know, basically bullying and my mental health issues. And also I describe, you know, my friends and kind of their issues as well. So that's kind of the book, really.
Yeah, wow. You had a kind of a unique and a little bit rough around the ages childhood coming growing up. So I can imagine how the transition to adulthood might have been a little bit tough to kind of blend in. What inspired you to write, though, and put all your, you know, experiences that you went through in this transition from child to teenager and into adulthood? What inspired you? How do you come up with the idea of writing your memoirs about this?
Well, it's a dream that I've had since I was 19, so for 10 years. And then in 2006, about 6 years ago, I read a book called The Quiet Room by Mori Schiller, which is a woman's story with schizophrenia. And that kind of prompted me to write the book because there, I think I would say the lack of psychiatric role models and the poor image that people with mental health issues are portrayed in the media kind of just inspired me to write a book where, you know, people who are battling, you know, all sorts of mental health disorders actually can triumph and live a normal life and be successful.
Yeah, and in your book, you actually visit a bunch of social issues for kids that are growing up, not just with mental issues, but that they can actually be really relevant to all of our youth nowadays. And you're talking about religion, education, you know, friendship. Why do you think kids are having so much trouble when it comes to finding their place in society? Why are they having so much trouble belonging somewhere?
I think a lot of it goes back to the competition and kind of the way we're raising children to be the best. And you know, in my book, too, I talk a lot about the media and how it kind of puts a lot of pressure on children because, you know, I grew up in the 90s, and so there were tons of teen movies every week where, and also television shows where, you know, all the problems that these people, characters had were really minimized and were solved by the end of the book. And I think kind of like the stigma of not talking about certain issues, especially for boys. I think that kind of, you know, kind of causes why so many people struggle and aren't content with themselves.
And it is a tough, right, for a parent too. I'm actually a parent of two girls, one 17 and one 20. And the 17-year-old, being the second child, was kind of a little bit more into herself than the first child that was always talking to me. So I have a very hard time figuring out how is she grasping everything that she sees on TV or reads in magazines or, you know, being an internet child, you know, the pages and comments of her friends, how she interprets everything. And I don't know what to do. I really don't. And I doubt that every parent knows what to do.
No, it doesn't. No, and if you read the book, my mom didn't know what to do. I was very closed off, and there were many times where my mom tried to help me and everything, but I just wanted to talk or express my feelings.
Yeah, and did you get that goal by writing for yourself? Did you?
Yeah. Writing really kind of just helped me, you know, tell my story and just express it and help me. It was very therapeutic.
Yeah, I think that one of the biggest problems with the media and that, as a parent, I know because we're just older, and when you're older, you kind of you realize that everything is really temporary. You know,
Yeah. You
can be in a situation in one moment, and then the next moment you're in a different situation. And
yeah.
Media is actually a snapshot of a moment in time, but kids
Yeah. Don't
see it that way. I wonder.
No, they don't.
Yeah. So, what do you think when you were growing up and you were looking at all these shows? Did you think that you needed to be like what you were seeing, or did you feel less adequate because you were not what they were picturing? What went through your mind?
Yeah, I definitely think that, you know, I was supposed to be like, you know, these happy teenagers with a whole bunch of friends, and I think that definitely in my high school that's what the mentality was, that the best thing that you needed to have was a strong, close-knit group of friends, where that you always had to go along with them, even if you didn't agree with what your friends are doing.
Mm-hmm. And how did you make it better for yourself during that time? Were you just feeling lost all the time, or it would only get, because you do stand-up comedian.
Yes, I do.
How do you go from a place where you're not happy and then you go to a place where you make others feel happy
and
laugh?
Well, I've always tried to have a sense of humor to cope with things, and then in my 20s I just did one stand-up comedy class by just a local comedian in the Albany, New York area. And then I started going to open mics, and I started enjoying it because it was a different setting. I think why I enjoyed comedy so much was because, you know, I was always like the outsider growing up. So when, you know, I realized I could make people laugh, that kind of just, you know, helped me connect with people that, you know, I can, you know, be I'm good as everybody else.
I think that when there's, and this is how I am, I don't know if it's the right way, but I think that when there's a serious issue, by looking for the humor in it, it makes it a little bit easier for me to cope with it.
Yes.
And yet some people might see it as disrespectful or anything. How do you deal with that when you're in your comedy, when you're in the comedy? Because you do comedy also about issues, it's a serious
thing. Yeah, you know, growing up with my grandmother, I'm not poking fun of that, you know, her illness or anything, but I think it's just, but I mean, I think most people, if you portray in a way that's still respectful to other people, I think, excuse me, it can be, you know, humorous and everything, so.
Yeah. Yeah, do you think that if people were a little bit more, they would lighten it up, growing up, going through everything that we go through, it will make it better for them?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. How did you turn your situation around? How do you come up? I mean, because you were in a dark place and you came out in such a great way that you are able to write and share your message with other people that might be in the same place you came from. So how did you turn your life around?
Well, I'm lucky that all my mental health issues kind of just came and went, you know. The book describes in detail how when I was in 18, I started hearing my peers' voices. But at the time, I didn't think I had a mental illness. I thought I was able to communicate with my peers through our minds, which was, you know, definitely very odd. And then that was in 18, and then it stopped for a little bit. And then when I went to college, it happened again with this individual. But I'm lucky that it stopped really when I was around 20, 21, and I haven't heard anything in about 8 or 9 years. And after that, I've just been always been grateful that it has stopped. And I think, you know, I always wanted to write about it, not just because it's in a unique situation, but definitely just to give people that have, you know, all sorts of mental health issues, depression, or anybody else that's in a dark place, to show that, you know, it does get better. So, and for writing about it, because there's so many families that when this happens to a teenager, you know, the onset of mental health disorder, they're kind of just really floored and they don't know what to do. And it just kind of really even helps people, you know, because there's not that really strong connection.
Yeah.
With somebody that can triumph, you know, from this, that I think it kind of just makes the situation worse for a lot of people.
Yeah. And I remember when we go through, you know, especially with my youngest one, we went through some issues with her, and it was, I felt that I was wondering whether I was failing as a parent, why I couldn't have her. I could relate to what she was going through, but I could not make her relate to me.
Yeah.
You know?
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. Join us and hear both well-known and upcoming writers talking candidly about their life experience as well as the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, we strive to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are available 24/7 through direct podcast as well as MP3 download for your convenience. Please visit us on InsideScoopLive.com.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Today I'm talking with Luke Donovan, winner of the 2011 Capital District Last Comic Standing competition and author of Missing the Big Picture. Stay tuned, because we are going to continue this personal interesting conversation with Luke and learn more about the struggles teenagers go through and how he overcame his own in this candid conversation. But in the meantime, you can check out his book, The Missing Picture by Lucas Donovan, on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and all of the other online bookstores. So what would you tell a parent that is going, you know, put yourself in through with their own issues? We all have issues, you know.
Yeah.
We all have, some are mental illness, some are more temporary, some will come and go like it was your case, and some are just more permanent. So, but we are still have to be parents.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what issues we have, we really want to be good parents, and we try our best. And sometimes it's not good enough to stay hardship. Our kids. So I wonder, what would you say as a son, you know, if you could tell a parent that is having, trying to help their child through the issues that you went through, what would you tell them that make them feel that they're being helpful? Well, how can they help you?
The major thing is that always just try to give your son or daughter, your child, that the image that you're always there for them. You know, I think that you do love them and that you understand that maybe some things are private and everything. But then just refer to those, you know, like we said, make the issue that that these things are looked at as a temporary basis, as any dark time is something that's temporary. I think, you know, in the book I talk openly how I wanted to commit suicide and everything. And you know, this started in high school, like then the junior year, and then it really got worse my senior year. But then I realized, you know, there would be a day where I wouldn't be in high school, where I didn't have to worry about who I was going to eat lunch with or how people were going to judge me on my looks. And I think really for those young people, that these are just temporary, you know, issues. And then if you know, they're thinking about, you know, hurting themselves, that's, you know, a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
That's a very well put way. It is a permanent solution.
through a temporary problem, if you can, if we can call it solution, which really it isn't.
It isn't, no.
But is it an attempt to create a solution that is going to be permanent and there's no coming back from it?
Yes.
So it's difficult. I really don't get it because I come from a different background, and the high school experience that I had does not relate at all with what you guys go here in the U.S. From South America and a different type of school and setting. There was really not so much emphasis on being popular or anything like that. It was also a very long time ago. So I want to find out sometime what my daughter is going with through bullying. She was bullied a couple of times, and I really couldn't figure out. And all I could think of is talk to the counselor of the school.
Yeah.
Does that help? Or how did you handle the bullying? Were you a victim of bullying as well? Or
yeah, basically the bullying started with I had my friends that I, you know, in junior high school, middle school, and then when we went to in high school, we'd had issues, and I talked about in the book how, you know, I was pioneering cyberbullying. You know, there are emails back and forth. There were even a couple times where they followed me home. I had to, like, go through a fast food restaurant for them to leave me alone. You know, they were tailgating my car and the prank phone calls. Plus, also just kind of, you know, if they saw me talking to a group of friends, would kind of discourage those people afterwards from hanging out with me. But I would say, yeah, definitely anything you could, because even if, you know, even if the school is aware, they can, even though, you know, there's really no thing counselors can't make it go away, but they can definitely, link the parents with, you know, resources to help, you know, solve these issues.
Yeah. And I wonder why can't they make it away? When you were going through all this and I mean, you're younger than me, so you have it more reason in your mind, and I really don't understand why is this happening in school? Is it out of control because the teachers don't see it, or is it out of, you know, the schools are not giving importance, the parents don't give it importance? Where is the missing link that we're not doing for it to stop?
Oh, I think it just goes revolved around that a lot of children just want to fit in, they want to be cool, they want to be funny, and they see themselves as, you know, making fun of others is that way to be seen as cool and funny. And when in reality, you know, you just have to realize that the people that you meet could probably be, there's something about them that you could really like and get along with. And I think it's just this desire to get ahead, to be the best, is why that there's so many negative problems with today's youth.
Yeah. I think it's amazing that you went through all that, and I want to mention this because I think if there's any teenagers that are being bullied and they don't feel that they fit in anywhere and they're suffering for it, you were in that situation and now you're in a different situation.
Yes.
Where you're happy with yourself and you're a published author, you're a stand-up comedian, you're basically living the life that a lot of teenagers would love to live, you know?
Yeah.
So what would you tell yourself at that time, kind of to give an example to the kids to not to demean themselves because they're not like the others, you know? What would you tell that you when you were that age?
I would tell the young people that it's just important to stick to yourself, that it's impossible that you're not going to get other people that like you. Not everybody is going to. And if you're worried about people not accepting you for who you are, you know, chances are if you go along with somebody, you're going to get angry at yourself, plus the person that you're trying to please or, you know, probably doesn't even like you to begin with. So you really just have to sit to yourself, just find out who you are, and then there's a reason that you are this way, and then just use this reason to your advantage. You know, growing up, I was trying to, instead of finding myself, I was just always finding, like, how I should be acting and everything. And I definitely wasn't the typical, you know, masculine, dry, and non-athletic and everything. But then, you know, there's other stuff, humor and comedy that I'm into, and I found my niche. So
I think, excuse me, I think you're saying something that is very, it just gave me an aha moment. And most of us, when we're teenagers, are actually trying to find who we should be instead of trying to find ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think that what we should be is ourselves. So,
yeah.
You know, spend more time within and figuring out yourself, what you like, you know, what do you want from life, and making to yourself those deep questions instead of what I should wear so that they would accept me or things like that.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Your book is called Missing the Big Picture, and it's available in Amazon and all other online stores.
Yes.
So tell me, who's missing the big picture? Is it the teenagers, the parents, the system, society?
It's mainly just myself. Kind of what I refer to missing the big picture as not having any self-confidence, as not having, seeing myself in relation to compassion for others, and having a positive and realistic attitude. So those are the three parts of missing the big picture.
Wow. Very well said. I encourage everybody to check out your book. Again, it's Missing the Big Picture, and it is available in Amazon.com and all the other online stores like BarnesandNoble.com.
Barnes & Noble, yes.
And is it e-book?
Right now it's just on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and on Kindle.
Okay, so it is on Kindle also. So you can find it on print and on Kindle. And, you know, check it out. This is just so relevant to all the kids and parents and even teachers and anybody that has to do with teenagers.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, and I've had a wide variety of people. I've had a gentleman in his 50s that was a correction officer that read it and liked it. It's a wide variety. It appeals definitely to a lot of people, because if you ever had a feeling where you thought you were inferior to somebody else, or, you know, you felt like you were in the underdog, or, you know, those situations growing up where you lack self-confidence, I think a lot of us can relate to it.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, self-confidence is there. It's inside you.
Yeah.
All you have to do is look for it. It's right there. What would you like the reader to get from your book? If they need to get at least one thing, what would that at least one thing be?
Basically that they should go and then realize how much they like themselves and stop putting themselves down. And then with other people, realizing that, you know, instead of just paying attention to everybody's negative qualities and what they can do for them, kind of just see these people that are in their lives as that, wow, this can be a really positive influence. They can be fun, and I can learn a lot from them. Also, I think it's a good book for, like, teachers and anybody who works in the mental health field, because it's really a first-hand account of what it's like to wake up and you hear voices in your mind. Basically, you know, I think my psychiatrist that I saw got really upset with me because I didn't, you know, I had poor insight and I didn't accept the psychiatric explanation of what was going on. I actually thought this was actually happening. And it's a good reason why, you know, to understand why a patient might be non-compliant or why a patient doesn't think they're mentally ill, and then how I finally accepted that. So I think it's good because it would help, help mental health practitioners more empathize more.
Yeah.
And really give a good understanding, something that they try and find in textbooks about mental illness.
Yeah. And it's a good thing that you're talking about it, because a lot of people, and, you know, we all go through places that we wonder, well, is this normal?
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, it never hurts to find out.
Yeah.
You know, ask for help, look for credential, as all help. You know?
Yeah.
And maybe talking to the counselor of your school is the first place, or your parent, or somebody you trust.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good thing that you're, I really applaud you for writing this book. Again, you know, missing the big picture. I think many of us miss it at one point or another.
Yes, definitely.
And so I encourage everybody to get something very positive from your book. And again, it's available in Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's also available in Kindle and all the other online stores. I could talk about this all day, Luke.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, being the parent of teenagers, it's very relevant to me. And for sure I will be checking out your book. Is there anything in particular that you want to direct to your readers while you're here? Do you have any events coming up at all?
I just perform comedy locally, but But that's about it. I did some shows in Albany, New York, just one on June 9th, and then one on June 23rd. But I just would like the readers to, you know, check out the book and everything. There are some times where, you know, I was very honest with the book, and so it can be graphic at times. It was definitely kind of just, I think, a realistic portrait of a struggling young person's life. So to just be aware of that, you know, I still think that teenagers should definitely read it and their parents should read it. But this is definitely something that I really was honest up front with. So there really weren't any surprises, you know, anything that I didn't leave out.
Yeah. So I think that it would be a great read for people that are looking to connect parents with teenagers.
Yes.
And maybe to start conversation over it. It's a great thing you wrote it. I am so thankful you came to Insight Scoop Live, and thank you so much for being so honest and so candid on your book and on our interview.
Oh, thank you so much.
And for you listeners, I encourage you to check it out. Again, it's Missing the Big Picture, available in all the online stores. Thank you again for being with us, and until next time.